Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, Connecticut. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. Hope everybody's doing well. It looks like a gorgeous fall day out there. The breeze is blowing. The sun is out. I hope you're out there with your families or having a good time doing some antiquing or whatever you like to do on this fun day. A lot of you are at kids' sporting events, and maybe some of you are out there looking for houses with your favorite real estate agent. And I've talked to a lot of real estate agents this week, and it's interesting what's going on, and we'll talk about that. But I want to relay a story that happened to me. Now, please, please tell me, next time I don't listen to my 24-year-old who tells me, do not voice an opinion on Facebook on the local town site. Next time I do it, please take me, put me in a headlock, and punch me until I give in and I agree not to do it, because last night I gave in to temptation and for my efforts of expressing my opinion, I got called some pretty nasty names by a young lady who lives in town and works in town. And I don't get it, people. If you don't agree, I don't know if she had a couple of pops before she started typing away. You know, maybe 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night. Maybe she had a few pops. I don't know, but think before you write stuff. I mean, some of the stuff that's coming out on some of these town sites is just absolutely amazing. And the subject matter was there was an incident in McQuaid's in Westerly where a young man and his dog were escorted out after an argument with the manager, and the lady witnessed it and thought it was very unfair. Service dogs in the supermarket, and I guess it went on all the way out into the parking lot. There was a nasty fight. The lady, without asking McQuaid's what happened and getting the backstory, she posted it on Facebook. Opinions fast and furious. How could they do this? They're Nazis. They shouldn't done this. People need their service dogs, blah, 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 right? So I basically had just posted that, you know, my wife had gotten bitten. A couple of years ago, we were walking through, a new neighbor walked up with her baby. Laurie was like so excited to see the baby, walked up to the lady, and the dog behind her bit her in the arm. So Laurie's deathly scared of larger dogs. And the other day in Walmart, a guy with two, one of those big dogs, pit bulls, loosely held in a narrow aisle in Walmart. Laurie said, I just reversed course, went down the other hall. Well, a lady called me a bad word, said, and just went after me for my age, my wife, and you itty bit. It went on and on and on, this young girl. And I just went, you know, I said, I haven't been called that before, but I said, thank you for reminding me why I should never post on a public forum. Thank you. And she went, oh, you're very welcome. You know, and I went, oh, I've rolled my eyes. So on and on and on this debate. I mean, I must have had 200 comments on this thing, people fighting back and forth. My opinion is the service dog thing is being abused. You go on the internet, get a service dog designation. There's no central registry for it. Anybody can get a true service dog, stays by someone's side. Doesn't want to be petted, they're working. But a lot of people want to bring their dogs in. You have this emotional support designation now, which is, you know, how do you prove or disprove that? And my objection is I just, in a closed market, I just don't think animals should be brought in, especially through the fruit and vegetables and everything else. That's my personal opinion, okay? And I thought I was abused. So lo and hold, all the opinions on the site were talking about this and everything else. Finally, McQuaid's puts up, the store manager must have been out last night. Nobody texted her or told her what was being said, and people are going to boycott and everything else. Finally, the McQuaid store manager, a very nice lady named Roxanne, posted this morning. She said, listen, She goes, there was an altercation with this gentleman and his partner at the pharmacy 10 minutes before with another customer. And the pharmacist called the store manager and said, hey, get this guy out of here. He's a real issue. Had nothing to do with the dog. Had nothing to do with the service dog. 200 comments later, the guy was being threatening to another customer around the pharmacy. And the pharmacist was so, you know, he said, this guy's got to go. So somebody saw the altercation at the cash registers, didn't get the back story, posted it, and then we had this all this blah, 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 blah. So my point being is things are never what they seem. Hold your ammunition. And I have learned my lesson. I will not post on a town site again, even if I have a strong opinion about it. And to that young lady, you know, think about you have a job, you have family in town. What are you doing posting, calling people names? That hurts people's feelings. You know, that's not a nice thing to do. And making fun of my age and all that, you know, really, is that really, if you want to unload, you're tempted to unload because you had a few drinks or you're generally pissed off at the world, get some boxing gloves. Put up a boxing pad. Swing away. My friends tell me it's great therapy, you know. But don't drink and post or just post because you're in a ticked off mood, you know, because you know, these things can happen. So we have a caller. Rocky, how you doing, brother?
Hey, good morning.
How you doing?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air. So,
well, I was driving away. I just left the station, and you're taking over the show.
Yeah,
and I'm listening to the story you're sharing, and
yep.
I want to say that I am perplexed and saddened by you being called names. You're the most gracious, cordial, kind, gentle person I've met in a long, long time.
Where's my wallet?
No, I just
it's just someone
the
angry.
The anger that people have that they just probably need to spew it out somewhere and got it.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I truly don't believe you deserve it. Just forgive and forget.
Yeah,
you're
that's
a great
it.
Person.
No, thank you, Rocky. I really appreciate it. And it turned out it was not about the service dog.
I know.
It just goes to show you that people post stuff. They don't get the backstory. And lo and behold, and now McQuaid's has to have a person on the Westley side, on the Stonington side, or whatever the surrounding towns where their stores are, to monitor this discussion where people are forming boycotts over something that had nothing to do with that issue. The power of social media and its misuse of power, it is pretty amazing, isn't it, Rocky?
I haven't known you for decades. I've only known you several months, but I find you very cordial, kind, and gentle-hearted. So forget those bad comments and, carry on.
Oh, thank you, Rocky. Thanks for calling in, brother. I do appreciate it. Well, that shows you what type of person Rocky is, because he's empathetic enough to call up in his car as he's driving away after being on for 2 hours to say something very nice. We need more Rockies in the world, don't you agree? Anyway, come on back. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com, schedule your appointment, read the 10 commandments, and let's get going on your financial life. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, me, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, off exit 90 next to Steak Loft gas station. We're in the Taylor Realty building, so you go up the little ramp there, and Stonington cops like to go up there sometimes and check out the traffic and what's going on. They were all over Greenmanville Avenue yesterday. I don't know what was going on, but he looked too intent to ask, so I left him alone and whatnot. Hey, we have Sam on the line. Hi, Sam. How are you today?
Good morning, Radio Free New England.
How are you, brother?
Better than I deserve.
Boy. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, let's see. Perhaps you could encourage some of these people that have lost their way. Perhaps they should say a prayer to Saint Joseph.
Yes. Sam's referring to my little statue of Saint Joseph on my desk. And I try to remember to say a prayer every day, although some days I forget. But you're right. Prayer does help. Don't you agree?
Well, let's say, until you brought it to my attention, I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Really? Well, it helps me. And if it helps something, you can find something that helps people, why not share it, right?
God bless you.
Yeah. Take care, Sam.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I was just going over with Chris here what the young lady actually said. He like turned white. He went, "What?" So it's just one of those things where I wish her the best. I hope she gets the help she needs. Sounds like she's under a lot of stress. And who knows? We'll see what happens. Hey, I talked to a self-made millionaire who enjoys the show, and I asked him to relay his advice to his listeners, to my listeners. And he said, and I paraphrase the following, okay? All our lives, and he's talking about his family, him and his wife. He goes, all our lives, my wife and I, we've been very disciplined about our finances. A certain percentage went into high-quality growth stocks, whether the market was up or down. We invested the dividends into other companies and kept finding more and more companies. We've done very well letting the power of compounding push us over the years into a higher net worth. We're getting older now, and we feel like we need a person like you to help us manage things better and to help our children understand what we did and how we did it. It's important to have someone we trust to help us with keeping up with developments on our sizable portfolio. Our advice to anyone out there is to stick to your plan of putting 10 to 20% of your income away before bills. Live frugally now so you can have a wonderful life later. Now, this type of advice, and I paraphrased, we had a long conversation, but I was asking for his advice. You know, he's late 70s, early 80s. I'm not sure if it was quite of his age, but very, very good guy, very wise, down to earth. You would never know it. Pulls into the parking lot with a 12-year-old car. He's not one of those big hat, no cattle guys. He's one of those guys that lives the way he talks. And talks the way he lives. So I respect him, and I wanted to pass along his advice to all of you out there. So, and I've been working on something. You know, I have the Retirement 10 Commandments, which I send to you if you go to my website, click and give me your info and whatnot. I've also developing something called the Financial 10 Commandments for Millennials. Not Millenniums, Millennials. A listener corrected me on how I was saying it, and I do appreciate it because I must have sounded like a moron before, which, according to Facebook, is not a reach. Okay, so anyway, the Financial 10 Commandments for Millennials. Chris stops laughing over there. Number one, and these are hard-ass, guys. These are not sugar-coated. This is hard-ass stuff. This is the stuff that a lot of you are going to, just say, you're an idiot, you're a jerk. But I don't care because I've learned this the hard way, okay? Bear in mind what that guy was saying in the paragraph before and what I was talking about. Number one, no student loan debt ever. Goes against the current trend, I know. Go to community college and go to work, but do not incur debt. If you do, live home until it is paid off. So if you're living home and you're making 50 grand a year and you've got 60 grand in student loan debt, you don't buy a car, you don't do nothing until that debt is paid off. You take all your money the first 2 or 3 years and pay that off. I told you this was hard stuff. This is old school, okay? This is the way your grandparents would have done it, okay? And this is why I'm talking about it. Do not start your life in the world until this student loan debt is gone if you had to incur it. The interest will eat you alive. Colleges, and this is, you're going to fight me on this, but it's my opinion, okay? Colleges are corrupt, and they've bought tremendous influence in D.C. Do not let them and their banker buddies tie you up financially. It's a scam, and you are not ready for it at 17, 18 years old to make those decisions. Why do you think socialism is gaining among 20-year-olds, 20 to 30, 35-year-olds? They know something is wrong, but two wrongs don't make a right. Be warned. Let's talk about this a little bit, okay? I think these student loan programs, all this has been facilitated by lobbying. Okay, they've laid layers and layers of management at these colleges. No longer do you have the president, the dean, and a bunch of professors and the facility people. Now you have layers upon layers upon layers, and that has increased the cost of college. The correlation's almost like 95%. The more layers, the higher the price. You are paying for the bureaucracy, and you're paying it with student loan debt. You're paying with future income. It's a scam. Stop it, everybody. You can go to college. Now, they'll price cut you. $50,000 college, they like your grades, they like your earnings potential. They may price cut you down to $25,000. That is not a grant. That is a price cut. You are buying something, okay? And don't let them fool you with aid. That is debt. That is not aid. That is debt. They're not giving you anything. Matter of fact, they're probably getting a kickback on the interest on the loans. It's a scam, people. Do not fall for it. Okay? Do not fall for it. And I know you're in high school and everybody's, where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, please, save. Where are you going to wind up is really what the question should be. Okay? And half these kids have run off and incur all this debt. They're back home in a year or two. Because they didn't have a plan. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just following the crowd. And mom and dad, you co-signed it. Maybe. Absolutely lunacy. And that's what's going on. And some of the teachers are pushing it too. And the guidance counselors, don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Nobody cares where you went to college. Only after you get your first job. It's all about what's on your resume job-wise. Where you went to college means absolutely nothing in 99.9% of the cases. Okay? All right? That's the reality of the situation. Okay? This is hardcore. Not everybody's going to agree, and some of you are cursing at me and don't want turning the radio off because you don't want your kids to hear it. But that's the way it is. Okay? No credit card debt ever. Number two. This is your grandparents talking right now. I can hear my grandfather talking as I'm talking to you. If you don't have the cash to buy it, don't. Our grandparents did not, and they did pretty well. Once again, the credit card gangsters will send you a card at 18, 19, hoping to enslave you, but don't let them. To establish a credit history, wait until you're working, or have one of your parents add you to their credit card, but do not accept the card, and parents do not give the kid the card. Just add their name. They will establish a credit file based on that, according to my sources. The payment history will automatically reflect on your kids also if you add their name. Okay? And a client gave me that. And I think it's perfect. Now I get it. You're going to need a credit card for travel and all that. Cross that bridge when you get to it. Pay cash. No balances. You have compounding work for you, not against you. Okay. Number three, this is one of the biggest mistakes I see. No auto loans, pay cash. Buy a car 3 to 5 years old in good condition and pay cash. That $25,000 new car will in some cases be able to be bought for 10 or 12 grand and you can save the cash to buy it. You can go to auctions with a buddy in the business. There's a plenty of car guys love to take someone. And the side effect is it'll be fun, and you learn what cars to stay away from. And believe me, everybody at these car auctions know, oh, no, no, you don't want that car. You don't want, this, in 5 years that's going to happen. They know. And I've gone to one, I've listened, and it's like amazing. It's like college, car college, real fast. One day car college. It's really, really interesting. Number four, remember the rich guy I talked about earlier? Follow his advice. Become an automatic millionaire by saving automatically 10 to 20% of your income and start buying good growth companies. This is not your emergency account. This is your sacred savings investment account that you never touch. I ran into a father the other day. He said, you got to talk to my kid. And I remember his kid because I coached him in Little League. He said he's making $2,000 to $3,000 a week out of state, doing something with tugs. I didn't understand what he was talking about. So I contacted the kid. I said, come see me when you're done. You know, your father mentioned. He goes, yeah, I want to talk to you because now I'm starting to make some serious money, and I want to become an automatic millionaire. And I go, you know what? You're ahead of 90% of your age group just by being aware that you can do this. Number two, having the earnings potential to do it. And then number three, you have to carry it forward. You have to actually come in, open the account, and we start automatically. He goes, you know, so I have high hopes for my little buddy Zach. I think Zach may, if he doesn't do dumb things and start buying new trucks, you know, and all the stuff we see these kids do, especially when they come in and get their bonuses off the sub base and whatnot. So we've talked about, out of the 10 items, no student loan debt ever, no credit card debt ever, no auto loans, pay cash, buy used, and then the automatic savings. Those are the top four out of the 10 of my new Financial 10 Commandments for Millennials. We'll go through 5 through 10 on the next section. If you'd like an appointment, come in to see me. Go to www.obrienretired.com or call me 860-415-9614. I'll talk to you at the break. Take care. Bye-bye. Good morning, Dennis O'Brien, host of the Retirement Life and Investing Show. And thank you for all I've talked to this week that told me they enjoy the show. I do appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. I am going through my brand new Financial 10 Commandments for Millennials. And we've done the first four, and I haven't written it up yet, so I'm not going to be sending it out till it clears the compliance people, but hopefully it will. Number five, you must buy a home. I think everybody, home ownership is one of the key paths to wealth in this country. Don't let anybody tell you, nah, I'm not going to buy, I'm going to rent. You got to buy a home. Millennials, you got to buy a home. Realtors out there, come on, let's go. Let's get them in a home that they can afford with several caveats, okay? Number one, okay, let's talk about this. I want you to buy a house with a 15-year mortgage, not a 30-year. Okay? Payments are higher. It's brutal. I don't care. I want you to get a home with a 15-year mortgage. But your equity will build a lot quicker. You'll save tens of thousands of dollars in interest, and you will be able to move for a bigger house easier because of the increased equity, the faster loan pay down on a 15-year versus 30-year when the kids come. Okay? Assuming you want to have kids. You better want to have kids. We need your kids. We need Social Security funded. Have kids, please. Anyway, I'm just joking. Anyway, 15-year mortgage if you buy a house. Okay, and I'm going to thank Tim Bray at Seaport Realty for this one. Tim gave me this one. Take $400 or 1 to 1.5% of home value and save for home improvements. And this should be in your budget when you buy the house. All right? You need to take some money aside, put it in an account for home improvements. Okay, this is the one that the banks do not tell you about when they give you that max 30-year. This is what you can borrow, and you go out and overbuy, pay for a house you can't afford to keep up. Can't put furniture in it. You can't do anything. And you can barely pay the damn taxes on it. Okay? So you need to buy a smaller house with a 15-year mortgage, take 400 or 1.5% of the value on a yearly basis of the home, okay? And you need to put that a cushion in for home upgrades and improvements. Trust me on this, you're going to need to do it, okay? As the years go by, you want to have the house kept up. It's a big investment for you. You'll own it free and clear in 15 years, okay? The house will be immaculate because you planned for it, okay? So please consider doing that. All right, number seven. Now, this is a big one. Once again, it's controversial. Goes against the prevailing wisdom out there. But that's why you're listening to get that, I assume. Careful on 529s. I know they're the rage, but I'm not a fan. First of all, they assume your kid will go to college. How many kids actually graduate college? About 30%. More go, but about 30%. Sometimes it's 25, sometimes it's 35. But overall, it's about 30%. Okay? I think having a 529 doesn't necessarily lock you into paying for college, but it does limit you quite a bit. My biggest beef with 529s is they limit your investment choices. Okay? They count heavily on financial aid applications. So you go to smartambitions.com. Paul, who runs college counseling, will tell you that 529 money is counted 100%. So if you put the money in that account, you're kind of hurting yourself. Now, I use the word aid loosely. We talked about sometimes they define aid as sticking your kid with loans. Okay? So we don't want to do that either. I favor custodial accounts because everything's taxed at the child's tax bracket. They can be used and set up the kid in a business, a house, anything, okay? Because they're going to revert to the kid eventually, okay, at the age of maturity, which is 18 or 21, depending on the state you're in, okay? But you don't tell the kid this, all right? Or depending on the kid, you know what I'm talking about? Some of them are more mature than others. But if junior, if not junior or college bound, and your kid is good with his hands, he wants to go to tech, he wants to do other things, he wants apprenticeship, plumbing, maybe he's going to start a business, maybe the kid's just not mature enough, okay? All right, so these are some of the things that I've seen actually happen, okay? And most important, if you start a custodial versus a 529, you can pick the companies in the account and not be stuck with the underperforming funds run by a politically connected insurance company or a mutual fund in your state. I know you give up the tax deferral, but only if you sell the stocks or junior or the dividends rise to a taxable level at the kid's bracket. And what's wrong with that? Especially if you pick the right companies or indexes. Besides, you can, if the junior's on that account, okay, and you tell them that this is what you're doing, and this is, they become very, very interested in investing. They have skin in the game. It's very important to all of a sudden, wait a minute. Now, some of you don't want to tell junior about the account. I get it. But I'm telling you, you cannot teach your kid better about what's going out there, what's going on out there, than if they have skin in the game and they learn. Those lessons are so much more important than most of the stuff they're going to learn in high school, okay? So please, there's a better way to do this. I am not a 529 plan. What 529s are good at, okay, is they're good at hooking you up with your local checking account and having you do it automatically into the 529. But you can do that same thing, you know, with a custodial account. We'll figure out a way to do it. You can make that custodial account a bill every month. I have clients, it's another bill they pay every month into that custodial. And we're buying high-quality growth companies instead of, I think, very poor underperforming funds. The other thing 529s do well is they run the target. So as your child gets closer to college or whatever, if they go to college, they get more and more conservative, okay, like that. So that is an advantage, okay? But you can also do whatever you want in the custodial, and we can work that in your favor too. So one of the things, careful on 529s. I favor custodial accounts, but you're going to have to be very, very disciplined, okay? But you got to realize now these politically connected insurance companies or mutual funds, this goes against everything you read in the ads, but you have to realize that the magazines and media are paid for by these big mutual fund insurance companies. They take out ads. All the advice they give you, I'm afraid, in my opinion, is skewed toward their products, okay, for the general public, okay? And my advice is skewed to what I think is best for you and buying really good companies. And they're not hard to find, guys. You can find them and buy them and hold them. And you don't care what the market does. This is long term. Okay? So this is a big deal. We're going to have our first grandchild in December, baby girl. First thing I'm going to do is open up a custodial for her, start telling the parents we're funding, we'll start funding it. If she goes to college, great. If she's a go-getter in another way, wants to open a business, if she wants to do whatever she chooses to do, the money, there'll be money sitting there waiting for her, whatever her, you know, she chooses. I wonder what her name's going to be. But in any case. Okay, so we talk about 529s. I'm not a fan, but I am a fan of college savings and whatnot. Number eight. This is the most difficult recommendation. If you get a salary job with a big or small company, you have to, this is for millennials, but anybody else too, and some of the older people will tell you this is true, you have to be ruthless about moving on if the right opportunity presents itself. Let me repeat that. If you get a salary job with a big or small company, you have to be ruthless about moving on if the right opportunity presents itself. The reality is, when talking to high-level executives, some of whom I deal with, they confide to me that when you hit 50, you have a target on your back, especially if you're highly compensated. They will replace you in a heartbeat if a younger and cheaper alternative presents itself. Sorry, that's just the way it is. So since pensions are hard to get and your 401k is portable, you have to look out for you and your family. For many of you, the thought of uprooting your family is not a happy thought, especially if the spouse has a career too. That's why I recommend everybody keep planning for their own company no matter what they are doing. Some of you will try it and some of you won't. I get it. But never assume the corporation you give your sweat and tears to will remember or appreciate your late hours or dedication. I know it sounds cold, but that's just the way it is. Okay? So bear in mind, I know you're excited about that new job, blah, 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 blah. And I've told all my kids this. Keep in mind, you can be replaced, especially when you're over 50. And how many people have we met that have taken, quote, unquote, early retirement? If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com. If you'd like to make an appointment, just call me at 860-415-9614 or go to dobrien@ifgrr.com and email me at that, and we will make an appointment for you. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Everybody, Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show. We've been going through our 10 Retirement 10 Commandments, Financial 10 Commandments for Millennials. Number 9, raise your kids to be lifelong learners, reading, discussing current events, going places and seeing new things, and understanding the world you and they live in is a lifelong vocation. College is not usually vocational, but teaches you to learn and gives you the ability to adapt, which will become important as technological changes speeds up ever more. But you don't have to go to college to adapt. Believe me, I know plenty of people that haven't and have done just fine. Number 10, and the final thing is the most important decision you and your children eventually make, especially your children as they're into their 20s and starting to date and meet people and whatnot, is whether to marry and who to marry as a lifelong partner. Remember, if you marry someone with $150,000 in student loan debt, it becomes your debt, too, upon marriage. If they owe $35,000 in credit cards, you may want to have the money talk sooner than later. And people, I've seen this, okay? Okay? Is she pretty? Is she smart? Is he handsome? Is he a good dresser? How much debt does he have? You know, it is what it is, you know? You must have shared values as a couple, so take your time and really get to know the person and have the money talk. When it's right, it's something that can't be bought. And when it's wrong, no amount of money can save you. Okay? So It's critical in those decisions. A lot of people rush in, you know, fools rush in. I've seen that movie. Classic. I loved it. But in any case, well, people are calling in this week who have too much debt for a free meeting. Sometimes they have assets and sometimes they don't. No matter, I help if they want it. Client came in yesterday and thanked me for yelling at him. My joke, I think, because he was going overboard on purchasing cars to fix up. He slowed down his spending and thanks me for pointing it out. Laugh out loud. He's someone that I'm very fond of. Good guy. Little bored in retirement. Got a little crazy. I said, hey, slow down, you know. And he listened. He laughed. And he goes, he says, his wife said hello. Cannabis. Everybody's talking about cannabis. Cannabis indexes soared last week as announcements were made about contracts, new investments, and the general sense that this industry is about to break out. I asked a client in California, should we take a profit? As you guys know, I've been talking about cannabis for a few months. Got knocked down pretty good there in July, bought a lot of it, and it's soared, you know. And I called a client. I said, listen, you know, you want to take a profit in it, short term, everything else? And she said that she went to a huge yoga retreat with thousands of people. And guess what she guess what the major smell was there? She says it's just breaking out in California all over. Whether you agree with it or not, it's a huge industry that's coming. And so she said, let's hold off. And I said, that's fine, whatever you think. The other industry I'm very interested in, robotics, artificial intelligence is an index for that. They're still way down because a lot of those companies are in Asia, okay? And the tariffs are hurting Asian markets right now, okay? But it's an opportunity in my view, okay? And I'm adding positions for the index in this industry. I think robotics, artificial intelligence is going to be absolutely huge. You have a very unusual opportunity to look at this area right now. Like I said, Asia's down. A lot of companies are there. I don't have to deal with Asia. All I have to do is buy the index and not worry about it. So once again, you have to keep an eye on that area too and take a look at it. So let me know if you're interested. Interest rates have climbed this week, slowing home prices in many markets. You know, the 10-year Treasury, which the mortgage rates go off of, I think it was 312, 308. So it's through 3 right now, okay? And that tells me, and guess what happened when the interest rates went up? Guess what stocks took off? Well, it didn't take off, not cannabis, but jumped. The bank stocks. And that makes sense because if the mortgage rates go up before they pay you more at the money market level, that's a beautiful spread opening for the banks. Remember, that's how they make their money, dinging you on fees and getting that spread before what they pay you. They lag, but they jump the mortgage rates up real quick. And that spread, as it widens, lends itself to unbelievable bank profitability. And so the banks jumped on the fact that the longer rates went up. So it's something, if you think is going to continue, you de-emphasize bonds. And you may emphasize the people that are going to make money off that spread, like banks and financials. So that's an interesting thing. Oil is also creeping back up, and I've been adding to my oil gas stock indexes. It's just a matter of time, in my view, before they surge. You know, they peaked in 13. We're in 18, soon to be 19. It's 5-6 years. That correction's over. And now we're starting to build a base. I think we're going to go higher. That's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. Doing it 38 years. Maybe it's worth something to you. Who knows? But that's my opinion, and I am adding to in that area. Apple keeps rolling out new products, and I bought more this week with a target of 260, but only if it fits your investment objectives. It's not a recommendation. It's just recounting what I am doing for accounts that can have that, you know, exposure. Okay? General Dynamics surged this month, which is very interesting to me. Looked back on September 12th was the date it started. Now, many of you out there work for GD through Electric Boat, okay? Many of you don't realize, but Electric Boat is just one small division of a much bigger company called General Dynamics. The company that's the biggest part of General Dynamics is Gulfstream. Well, on September 12th, GD stock jumped, and I traced it back to an announcement on 9/12, which was a very interesting announcement in my view, that General Dynamics Gulfstream Division sold their first Gulfstream, I think it's 550 the model, to the Navy. Now, what does the Navy want? Well, the Gulfstream, which is a private jet. But I guess they've enhanced the jet to help with missions that the Navy is running. And I suspect myself that has something to do with why would they need a jet in the air like that, fast-moving and quick? What would that jet be controlling? What do you think? I think that jet, this is a guess on my part. Don't come lock me up if I'm right, guys in the national security apparatus. Well, I think perhaps these jets are going to control the drones out there. I don't know. But if this is the first contract of the Gulfstream capability, and Gulfstream's been holding back General Dynamics stock, and General Dynamics stock popped on this news September 12th of the first sale to the Navy, that may bode very, very well for General Dynamics. So just keep this in mind. The reason I key in on GD is not because I think it's the best stock in the universe, but it's so widely held here, and so many people are affected by their, you know, by how well they do. So just keep that in mind. That's why I'm talking about it, okay? Pfizer's creeping up, widely held around here. They're getting back to basics. Love it, love it, love it. They're stopping buying other companies and stripping them and doing that stupid Wall Street thing. They're getting back to basics, trying to find drugs and develop them and bring them to market. And buying young companies that may have a promising compound. Nothing wrong with that. I love that. But the stock is acting very, very well in here. And it's probably a dividend play, too. Lisa Carlberg of Lisa Carlberg Communications. You might remember Lisa's name. She used to be a Fox anchor. I think she worked for NBC, too. Very polished, very smooth, has a publicity firm, doing a lot of events. She came with me as my guest to my BNI Thames meeting last Thursday morning. I think she was amazed by the business opportunities she saw at the meetings. And she actually made some key contacts, helping some of our members as well as helping her business. So I recommend her very highly. If you have an event, you want to do a Facebook Live event with Lisa and her extensive contacts to broaden out your business and work with Karen Etchells at Invest Marketing, it'd be a very smart thing for you to do. The Mystic Film Festival is coming soon, October 18th through the 21st. It's going to be the Mystic Luxury Cinemas and the Mystic Noank Library. They had 180 films, documentaries enter, and I think they picked the final 40 that they're going to be showing around. And it's an excellent opportunity. There's going to be a red carpet night on October 18th here in Mystic, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm kind of looking forward to it. So go to the Mystic Film Festival Facebook page. And get your tickets if you want to participate. I love films, and always looking for a good one. My sources at Foxwoods tells me that they are very pleased and relieved that their numbers were not badly affected by the new casino in Springfield that opened up this month. This is good news for local layoffs, I hope. Okay, so I think Foxwoods, Rodney Butler and his crew there have done a very, very good job of diversifying and keeping it fresh there at Foxwoods. For years, we didn't go there. We went to Mohegan. Now, recently, we've been going to Foxwoods more because they've really done a nice job of keeping it fresh, I thought. You know, oh, look, a new restaurant. Oh, something new going on. They've lowered the price on that line that you can take, the zip line, is it called? I think from 75 down to 59 or 49, I can't remember. Guys, get that price down. We all want to do it, but I thought it was way overpriced when you first rolled it out, but it's a great idea. I've become good friends with Dee Strong's mom, Melissa Murray, whose site on Facebook has 120,000 followers. They help families of children with cancer. Go to Dee Strong's site and donate if you can. Charter Oak, if you have an account at Charter Credit Union, will match you if you're a member. Ask for Jennifer Isarelli at the Charter headquarters in Waterford if you'd like the details. They will match. So if you give $100 to the Dee Strong, you get a tax deduction. And Charter Oak, if you remember, will match it. That's, I think, a fantastic deal, helping the kids and whatnot. So you might want to consider that. Last week, I put together a portfolio for a gentleman for about $300,000. We have about $12,000 scheduled dividends coming in every year. So we're about 4% payout to him on the dividend stream, and a sizable potential for conservative growth as well. Give me a call if you'd like me to look over your statements for a second opinion. Why not? It doesn't cost you anything, especially if you've heard from your advisor in months or years. So feel free to come on in and bring your statements. If you have any questions, go to my website, O'BrienRetired.com, or give me a call at 860-415-9614. Everybody have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon. And please do not go on Facebook community sites. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.